Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 175 of Beyond the Supernatural. We're on the final page of miscellaneous, rambling bullshit about skills before we really get to talk about skills and occupations here in the skill rules section. My eye just keeps pulling down toward the lower right-hand side of this page, where we have a random table of occupations, which we are going to use here very shortly. But before we do that, and really finally make the plunge into the occupations proper, let's talk about the last little bit of bullshit that I'm not quite sure why it's here. Psychic fairs. What is a psychic fair? And equally importantly, why are we talking about it? Well, it's because the author did a little bit of research into how real-life alleged psychics make their living, and it seems to me from the text on this page that he went to a psychic fair to kind of learn the ropes of the psychic profession, and never one to waste a stray thought without putting it on the page and charging money for it, the author decided to just recount for us his experience at the psychic fair. It's like a little jam handy production just broke out at the beginning of this page. You can hear the jaunty music in the background. You can see the little title card, Johnny's Day at the Psychic Fair. So let's join the author on this journey to the psychic fair. We'll begin with a discussion of professional psychics and how they put food on the table. Quote, these individuals are making a living and nobody thinks anything odd about them. They are not harassed, although some people may think of them as being charlatans, quacks, weirdos, or as simple entertainers, and other people just ignore and forget they are even there. Many work out of their homes or a small storefront, while others travel a regular circuit of psychic fairs. Hundreds of these fairs go on every month throughout the US and Canada, and it is another example of an alternative lifestyle slash business slash community that the average person doesn't even know exists. Did you? Vendors at psychic fairs do psychic readings at their booth slash table, or sell New Age products. Some professional psychics have online sites, and a few even get themselves gigs as a regular radio or cable television personality or celebrity, though the latter is very rare, less than 1%. Note, as a rule, a psychic fair is a modest gathering of psychics who set up a booth like a vendor would at a small comic book, gaming, or science fiction convention, where they offer their psychic services for $30 to $60 per reading, sometimes as much as $100. When the reading is done, most psychics provide the customer a videotape of the reading for their records and future consultation, a tangible product for their cash. Some also sell pamphlets or books about their experiences and observations about psychic phenomena and or New Age paraphernalia, crystals, pendulums, candles, incense, etc. There are also guest speakers, demonstrations, meditation, massage therapy, etc., aura photos, Kirlian photography, and similar events. The atmosphere is generally subdued, respectful, and friendly. All participants talk about doing good, finding yourself, healing, and spiritual peace and harmony. End quote. So enjoy yourself, Johnny, on your day at the psychic fair. I fucking love the psychic fair. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not justifying its inclusion here exactly. I mean, we're in the skill rules section. This has nothing to do with that. If we play the game as we've been set up to play it on previous pages, where it's like, well, your psychic investigator is really this grizzled person cursed with psychic powers who has to fight the forces of evil, and so it doesn't really matter that in their day job they're a greeter at Walmart, right? If that's the way you intended to play this game, then you don't have a ton of use for the psychic fair. Like, unless you had an ammo-intensive night and you need to buy some more crystals for your crystal gun, you have no reason to go to the psychic fair. And it certainly has nothing to do with your skills, right? But if you're doing what was suggested last page, where you are, quote, hiding in plain sight by openly admitting that you're a psychic and making a living being a psychic, which is not exactly hiding as I understand it, but apparently it works, then you may care a lot about the psychic fair. And I'll tell you why. And this is why, like, it puts me over the edge from being merely charmed by the psychic fair to affirmatively thinking it is one of the better dumb things in this game. Keep in mind that in this game, seemingly for no reason, we've had a lot of focus in the PCCs on, like, the specific small amount of money you have at hand, the money that you're spending on rent, precise inventories of very minor items like pencil leads for your mechanical pencil. Again, if you're playing this game in the sort of dramatic way that it's pitched on most of its pages, you may wonder why all this detail, but if you are playing a hardscrabble, hustling professional psychic, a working professional psychic who is making a living at these psychic fairs, we are talking about nitty-gritty small potatoes resource management in your psychic campaign against the forces of evil. We're talking about, like, there's an astral convergence in Sedona, Arizona this weekend. I need to drive there, but my transmission is shot. I either got to get that fixed or I got to get like a bus ticket or something. Let me look in my bank account, like, what's my rent like this month? And how am I going to make up this shortfall at the psychic fair? Should I raise the price point on the palm readings from $40 to $50? Am I at that stage in my psychic career? Maybe I could hit up some of my friends at the other booths. Hey, I'll hit up Coco. She's cool. She runs the Curly and Photography photo booth. I'll go chat up Coco, ask her how the wife is doing, the kids, and then just kind of ease in. Hey, Coco, maybe you heard about that convergence in Sedona? Yeah, I'm also looking forward to the good vibes from that. Here's the thing. I heard there's going to be an entity of pure malevolence there. Yeah, I know. Such a bummer. Anyway, look, I'm going to try to go do something about that. I wonder if you could front me like $30. And that depends on what kind of day she's having at the Curly and Photography booth. Hey, maybe you could stand and be like a barker and like call people over. This appeals to me. This like small potatoes, like $20 here, $20 there. At a certain point, we don't even need entities of pure malevolence. I can just get into this little small business game. I'm that kind of role player. If you set me up in a situation like this, at a certain point, I start to become annoyed by the demonic threat. And I'm just like, I'm really trying to get my psychic massage business off the ground. I wish these demons would just stop annoying me, distracting me while I try to build this customer base. This is for me. I am fully into it. Making friends at the psychic fair? It seems so chill. It seems so cool. And this is where we get a little bit of that carrot to go with the stick that the GM has been hitting us with like, you have exactly 2 flashlights. You have no more than 2 flashlights. Don't you break that fucking flashlight. This isn't a horror movie. This is a horror role-playing game. When you drop a flashlight, you got to go buy another flashlight. And I am tracking your bank account. Thank you. Can you afford a flashlight? You know, I've been cross-referencing the campaign calendar with California housing laws, and I'm pretty sure it's time for a rent hike for you in your apartment. You're not fucking made of flashlights, my friend. That's the stick. The carrot is, it incentivizes me, if I know my flashlight budget is being tracked, it incentivizes me to go out there and care about making money out at the fortune-telling booth, connecting people to their dead relatives, because I need that money. And so there's a greater sense of satisfaction when I find a new regular customer, put some smiles on faces. So I'm fully into this. I support the psychic fair as a really fun adventure setting, and honestly, even as a campaign setting, like as a recurring thing in the campaign, that throughout the region where all your other adventures are happening, there are also regular psychic fairs, like throughout like a tri-county area. And you always run into like the same assortment of psychics and make-believe psychics at these events, and you have ongoing relationships. That's like part of your NPC cast. It's a really good idea. It is a straight up good idea. It is very not dark. It is very not trench coat horror. It is in some measure dumb because we're talking about tiny amounts of money and trivial concerns. And it really works best if we turn this campaign into being at least partly about like small psychic business sim. So it is dumb, but I love it. And with that rather upbeat ending, we are done with the prefatory bullshit in the skill rules section. We get to really start talking about occupations. Now, the descriptions of occupations are going to come tomorrow, but the table of occupations starts on this page. So we're going to end this episode by rolling an occupation for Crackpot Joan. Now, I want to make clear, the rules encourage players to choose occupations for their characters. I am electing to roll on this random table, which is provided, because I want Joan to be a totally regular random person, just doing her best to fight the supernatural. Since my goal here is to sort of test out the skill system and see what I can get from maybe not an optimal position. That said, I think I will probably add on another test character just to kind of diversify, just to try out at least one other occupation, but we'll see. For today, I'm rolling, and I'm rolling for Joan. So this is the moment of truth for her. Remember, all she has going for her is her skills, and the only place she's getting those is from her occupation. So we know she's struggling in her workplace to achieve work/life/monster-hunting balance. Let's see what workplace she is struggling in. All right, that is a 48. It looks like Crackpot Joan is a landscaper/groundskeeper. So I'm going to do my best to make Crackpot Joan a viable monster hunter. Maybe get her a little bit of Zombies Ate My Neighbors action with her weed whacker. But we'll see. We'll see what the rules permit. Join me next time as we kick off the occupations section with a true trench coat horror classic, The Antiquarian, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.